The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, Ira Kaufman, is presented by Bill Curry Ford, which has just won the Ford President's Award, given to dealerships that show the highest level of customer service, satisfaction, and overall experience. It is a phenomenal achievement, but we've been telling you this for many months, that at Bill Curry Ford, you get hands-on, family-owned care from the dealership, all aspects of it, including personally from General Manager Sean Sullivan, who will walk you through the process, answer any questions. He'll talk Bucks with you. He'll talk draft with you. And he will give you the Joe Bucks fan Ira Kaufman discount. Get to BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping now, and you can get to their fantastic showroom. We love Bill Curry Ford. Ira drives a Ford Escape 2020. He loves it. I bought my vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. So did Lee DeKemper, bought his Ford F-150. BillCurryFord.com.
Now, Lee, beer drinkers must try Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. The Tropic Pressure Florida Ale, that's a winner, Lee.
Yeah, it is.
And so is the original Big Storm Beer, the Wave Maker Amber Ale. Lee, there's not an ale down there that you haven't tried. And don't forget the Brumosa, the Tangerine IPA, and the Fancy Orange Can. You tried that too, haven't you?
Oh, it's good stuff. I mean, you drink that, you just think Florida. It's Florida, man.
The great food and locally brewed Big Storm beer will be flowing at the JoeBucksFan.com Big Storm Draft Party for round one of the NFL Draft. We got the date. It's Thursday, April 23rd. The Big Storm Tap Room on 49th Street in Clearwater. I've been there. It's a little south of Omerton, just off Omerton. Mm-hmm. The fun starts at 6 o'clock, Lee. I'll be there all night having a blast with Buck fans. I always do. I think I'm going to wear the Sage t-shirt, Lee. This is the can't-miss party of the year, as always. I got to tell you, fans are going crazy over this thing. This is a very, very popular event. Find all the Big Storm beers at BigStormBrewery.com.
Pin Chasers is the place to go bowling in the Tampa area. Two locations in Tampa, one in Pasco County. PinChasers.net is the website. There you can reserve a lane and see all the daily specials, sometimes two in a day. Great place to send the kids for spring break camp, just $99. And make sure you use the $30 off code SPRING at PinChasers.net. Get all the details there. Pin Chasers, great for a birthday party, an office party, and just a weekend night fun bowling. Pin Chasers.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, another fine edition, a sobering edition, but a fine edition of the world-renowned, internationally popular podcast hosted by none other than the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the King of Pasco County, the Custodian of Canton. He's Uncle Ira. It's none other than Ira Kaufman. Ira, how you doing today?
Lee, we are proving today, and we will continue to prove. It's going to take more than a pandemic to shut this podcast down, Lee.
Yep.
It's going to take more than the NFL league meetings getting canceled, which cost me a trip to the Breakers. And, of course, I always love to go into the Breakers because a tuna fish sandwich sets you back $49.99.
And for people who aren't familiar with the Breakers, what is that?
The Breakers is a posh resort, and posh might not do it justice. It's sort of the Mar-a-Lago without Trump. I've been there forever.
Guess what Mar-a-Lago was? How did I saw this on a documentary this week.
You looked up something about Mar-a-Lago?
No, I did after I saw this documentary.
Don't tell me it was a fortress or something.
Sort of. Who first owned Mar-a-Lago? How did it come about?
I would say the first owner was you called the house. No, I'm kidding.
C.W. Post.
C.W. Post?
And he willed it to his daughter, who was the creator, for lack of a better term, of General Foods. She took her father's fortune and made gazillions of dollars. And she owned Mar-a-Lago. She inherited it from her father. And she willed it to the federal government. And Trump bought it from the federal government.
Unbelievable, DeKemper. You know, one thing I've learned about league meetings over the years, Lee, they ain't going to Spring Hill Suites. You know what I'm saying? and their favorite is the Arizona...
No Hampton Inn?
The Arizona Biltmore in Phoenix, which is gorgeous. I mean, it is gorgeous. It's very conducive to a league meeting, all kinds of conference rooms, huge pool for the families, and people bring their families. But I always enjoy it for two reasons. One, it's the only time Joel Glazer talks. It's the only time a Glazer talks on the record.
and you've been there, you've been through it. I mean, my all-time classic with Joel was, the 2 months after they fired Lovie Smith, Lee, there was no Glazer to be found after the announcement. They dragged poor Jason Light out there, sweating, and looking into the Klieg lights, and, trying to answer why Lovie Smith was dismissed.
I was the only person to use the word Klieg lights.
And he wasn't the guy that did it. Anyway, not a Glazer in sight. Now, of course, they show up when they, sign a big free agent or something. So now it's 2 months later, and I was probably at the Arizona Biltmore. I get my 10 minutes. I was working for the Tribune, and I used to go to the league meetings. Roy would go to the Combine and the Senior Bowl. I get the league meetings. And
you won.
And I won. And of course, if it's in Phoenix, my wife's going. And it's the Minneapolis Super Bowl, she says, hey, you can go by yourself. So I got my 10 minutes with... I got my questions written down. I got my notepad, and the PR man is sitting there, Nelson. And I start off, talk about the reasons you felt that you needed to make a change as head coach. Joel Glazer looks at me. I'm not making this up. He looks at me and he says, we're all about looking ahead, Ira. We don't look behind. I said, well, you certainly didn't look behind on January 12th when you didn't show up at a press conference. Of course I'm going to ask you about Lovie Smith. You haven't made any public comments. So I basically shamed him into saying a few things. We wanted to move in a new direction, all the standard cliches. But you got to address it, Lee. I mean, even Joel realized how silly that sounded. But, and there's a Monday night party, Lee, and I think you've been to one or two.
Yes.
There's a Monday night party. Media's invited, which I'm a little surprised at. All the GMs are there, all the head coaches.
Talk about letting the dregs of society
and
in.
And the owners. And the owners.
Yes.
And it's all free. So that's when, Lee, I don't know if you remember this story, but a few years ago.
That's where you and Artie Blank had a little.
Me and Artie Blank had a little thing. But also, my wife was sitting down when the party started, and I see Dirk Cutter and his wife and Jason Light and his wife at a table. And like 50 feet away from us. And I had written a column when Quinn was out there as a free agent. Robert Quinn.
Okay. Yeah.
Who had some good seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I threw out there, Quinn's younger. That's all I said. Quinn's younger, whatever. Like the next day, I get a text from Cutter. And that was rare. He didn't often do that. And he goes, Robert Quinn, ? Really? So now it's like a week or two later, and we're at the Arizona, and we're at the party. So after my wife and I finished our drink and a little appetizer, I said, hey, walk me over to that table. I need you for protection. I said to my wife, we go over, Light looks up, he sees me, cringes a little bit. Cutter sees me, cringes. And I knew Cutter's wife, and I knew Light's wife. So I go up there, and I go right to Cutter's wife. And I said, do you have any idea what your husband texted to me the other day? She goes, no, tell me. And I said, he basically called me an asshole. That's what I said.
Whoa, for that?
Yeah, I said that.
Really?
Me. I like to embellish a little. I've been known to do it. And Cutter turns around and he goes, I didn't say that, Ira. I go, no, but you meant it. And he goes, absolutely.
You're on that subject.
So we're gonna miss the league meetings.
I got to give Cutter credit. I remember one time it was about 10:30 at night, and a day or two before that, I wrote a story based on a CBS story, and it was something about the salary cap. Oh no, it was about a penalty that Cutter used a flag or used a challenge flag. He shouldn't have done it because they explained the rule.
But you alluded to a CBS report.
Alluded to it. I linked to it. And I said this is their description of the rule. And, being on CBS, I thought they knew what they were talking about. It's CBS. It's not like it's Joe Blow's website. It was CBS. So I wrote about it. And it was like a day or two before. But this is like 10:30 at night, like on a Thursday night. And I get a text. It's Cutter. Like, oh, what's this? And he's like, hey, that story's bullshit. Excuse the language. I'm quoting him directly. And this is what it was. And he explained the rule to me. And he goes, okay, I appreciate that. I said, Dirk, I'll run a correction tomorrow morning.
You aren't going to quote Cutter, though.
No. I said, this will be off the record, but I'm going to run a correction. And he replied, I don't need a correction. I just wanted to help you out.
Nice.
Class. That's class. Because the story wasn't positive toward him, but he's like, I don't need a correction. I just wanted to help you out. I wanted to explain it to you.
And by the way, this gives me an opportunity to talk about something that people have picked on you. They've picked on all of us if we've been in this business for any length of time, Lee. And I understand it to a point, but the readers and the listeners, Lee, they're not in this business, and they don't understand why we're not quoting people, why we're using unnamed sources without quote marks. They don't understand it. They think we overdo it. Sometimes our editors think we overdo it. I know at the Tribune, me and Roy and I had a lot of battles with editors saying, can you put a name on this? Lee, over the years, and it's getting worse and worse, and you know this. And this is not a Tampa thing. It's national.
Oh, no.
You don't want to be unnamed, but nobody wants their name, and they're not going to give you the information. You can either put your head in the sand and say, I don't want the information. Now, Lee, could the information be wrong? Once, it could be wrong from that source, because then you won't trust
you shut them down.
You shut them down. But I'm a big believer in you've got to protect the people that are keeping you informed.
Yeah, and as I was just about to say,
I know the fans are frustrated.
Yeah, and to flip the coin, if you out a guy, you're shut off.
You're done, and the word gets all over the profession.
Thank you. You've got a scarlet letter. You're wearing a scarlet letter, and people are like, stay away from so-and-so. That's like a little fraternity, the GMs and the suits and the scouts and the coaches. And they'll point out, got to stay away from him. And I think the reason why some people trust me, because they know, I believe it's sacrosanct. If you say off the record, that means off the record. Black or white, on the record or off the record. No in between.
Lee, I'm sure this has happened to you.
And I understand people
sometimes
get frustrated.
Sometimes you write something and the day after the guy says, well, that was off the record. And you said, you didn't say that.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of implied. I don't believe in that implied nonsense.
No, I don't either. I won't say what the guy said. But I ran into Todd Munkin one time. I was looking for some information.
Who's a great quote?
Great guy. I saw him. I kind of had an idea where he was going to be, you know, outside of One Buck. And I went there, and sure enough, he's there. He sees me. Hey, Lee, how you doing? Hey, Todd, what's up? And we got to talking, and he was telling me some stuff. And even though he said he didn't care, I'm not going to say, you know, I told him. I said, I didn't come here for on the record. I'm looking for information. And when I told him that, I said, and he's telling me stuff that it's really flammable. And I said, Todd, you do know this is off the record, right? Just to make sure. And he's like, oh, I don't give a shit.
That's Todd Munkin.
But I'm not going to repeat it because I didn't go there to get on the record. So I was looking for information. If he did, you know, say, hey, this is on the record, I want you to quote me. But he didn't say that. And I told him this was off the record. So it shall remain that way.
Now, Lee, as we take this, we don't know whether the free agency period, the start of the league officially, 2020 season, is going to be pushed back. It's being debated.
Yeah. So we know there's a new CBA.
There's a new CBA.
We're recording this early Sunday afternoon.
And you and I might have a little bit of a different opinion here. I'll say this. If the league decides to push these things back, I'm okay with it. But here's where we differ. I don't think it's imperative. If they don't push it back, I'm okay with that too. Because to me, if it's not a health issue, if it's not a health issue, listen carefully to what I'm saying. If it's not a health issue, don't push it back. And I've heard some people suggest, wait a minute, the idea of announcing a 3-year, $52 million deal with somebody while people are dying of coronavirus, that's crazy. Lee, that's stupid.
I agree with you.
That's stupid.
I agree with you with that part.
It's got to be a health issue.
Well, unfortunately,
and I'm not convinced it is a health issue.
Well, the things I'm reading, it is a health issue.
Everybody's got a private plane, Lee. A private plane
that can be
infected.
You
have a guy who would go with a doctor.
Well, this is dangerous crap. I mean, I just read about some lady that was infected. She has no clue. She wasn't overseas. She didn't leave more than 10 miles from her house.
But we're not talking about crowds.
We're not talking about crowds. But this stuff, you know, we were talking about this earlier. You could be a carrier right now. I could be your carrier right now. We would have no idea for 2 weeks.
That is the scary part.
So, now what you said, I agree with. We can't announce a contract because people are dying.
That's stupid.
That's absolutely stupid. I agree with you. I feel awful for people who are suffering. But
That's not going to infect one more person or make it harder for them to rehab.
Correct. You know, I've been reading some stuff about this coronavirus from legitimate people. You know, Johns Hopkins type people, infectious disease experts. I think we're looking at the tip of the iceberg. I really do.
I hope you're wrong, Lee. So do you.
No one wants us to be more wrong than me because I'm one of the people that are prime target, like susceptible. You know, I'm the kind of person, if I get this,
You're compromised.
life-altering. Like, I'll be on a ventilator.
And we'll still do the podcast.
Probably, and you can hear me hissing in between breaths.
Lee, I scooped you today. And it's very rarely for me to scoop you, but I scooped you. And I came in the door, and I said, Calais Campbell is a ex-Jaguar and a current Raven. And you said, what? And I said, yeah. And you said, oh, what did it cost Baltimore? And I said, sounds like a fifth-round draft pick. You go, and you said, hey, you got to be kidding me. A fifth-round pick for
that's
Campbell.
Insane.
You know, I was all aboard the Campbell Express.
You were leading
a couple of years ago. I was leading it. And I think the Bucks were sincerely very interested in him. That was a couple of years ago.
Oh, they played dumb.
And they wouldn't admit it, but they were interested. I think they got priced out. They felt that way, and Jags put their money up. And he was a difference maker. Now, I don't know. I don't think he's the same player he was 2 years ago. But he went to that Jacksonville team. They darn near went to the Super Bowl. They had New England beat in the AFC title game. Should have won it.
They had Jameis as the quarterback. They would have won it.
There was a fumble return for a touchdown. It was called back against the Jags. I think it would have salted the game away. And they came that close. And that game was in Foxborough, where nobody beats New England in a big game. And Jacksonville, how'd they do it? Well, Bortles was average. They did it with defense. Mm-hmm. And a hell of a defense. Lee, speaking of Jacksonville's defense, it's all gone.
All in 1 year.
It's dismantled.
Ramsey, gone. The other cornerback, gone. Calais Campbell, gone. Yannick, about to be gone.
Dante Fowler's gone. He's been
gone.
Yeah,
yeah. How many first-round picks? Gone.
Oh, my. So I guess they're rebuilding with Josh Allen and whoever else they can come up with. You know, look, the Ravens had a heck of a defense without Campbell. He's only going to make them better. And the reason I really wanted Campbell, as much as for his performance, he's a tremendous leader, Lee. He's a tremendous leader. He would have been a tremendous mentor for Vita Vea. I mean, tremendous.
Sue isn't?
No, not as good.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. And by the way, I don't think Sue's coming back, so we shall see.
Oh, really?
We shall see.
Well, the Bucks seem like they're fairly confident.
Well, Arians wants the front seven back, and we shall see. A lot depends on how much they're spending on a quarterback. A lot depends on that. And and that's up in the air.
Well, you know what? You've led me into this. You're talking about leaders. You know what I think of leaders? I think it's Kaka. And I'm trying to think. You know, I always quote Jack Hammond saying it's rhetoric. It might have been Phil Sims. I heard someone, guy who's in the Hall of Fame. I know Phil Sims isn't. He goes, all this talk about leadership is such empty talk. And so I agree. It's like, it's Dan Silio of sports radio. You know, he was too dumb. I'm sorry, Dan. Too dumb to come up with anything original. Leaders. give me 11 guys. Give me 22 guys that produce, and you can have 22 leaders. I'll win.
You know what that sounds like, Lee? It was like one day when Gruden was working out of one buck. It was one of his press conferences. Somebody said, swag. This team got enough swagger, John, for your taste, you know. And sort of like talking about physicality. But they used the word swagger. And Gruden looked at the guy. I don't remember. It could have been Tommy Balock, you know. And it sounds like a Balock. And Gruden looks at him and he goes, swagger. You know what swagger is? Putting somebody down on their ass. That's swagger.
Yeah.
You know, and so he went from the theoretical to the very practical.
It's sort of like what Bobby Knight did. They asked him about game face. I don't know what the hell a game face is. He started doing all these gyrations.
Yeah, I remember that. So you're saying leadership, just do your freaking job, right? And do it well.
Well, there's some pieces of the puzzle coming up here. And you know me, I'm still on the Jameis bandwagon. That production, it's all about production for me. If that guy only threw for 3,000 yards, get rid of him.
Are you feeling like a lone wolf right now?
I don't care.
About Riley?
Like I told Rock Riley, you can sure as hell cut down on picks a lot easier than you can find a guy walking the street that can throw for 5,000 yards. Give me the 5,000 yards. I'll deal with the interception. And you know what? Terry Bradshaw basically said the same thing. And he's like, coach him up, Bruce. You got a guy who can throw 5,000 yards. Coach him up.
And Bradshaw also said he did not get along with Chuck Noll.
Oh,
all those years.
Despised Chuck Noll. To this day, despised
him. Imagine that. And they won four Super
Bowls. So much for that leadership, right? Anyway, to come up with the Jameis stuff. See, I'm like you now. I'm interrupting you. I'm trying to push the story forward.
That's good.
You're usually interrupting me.
That's good.
Though I'm putting a puzzle together that Jameis may be the problem and not his interceptions. Although that may be a big element.
Tell me more, my friend.
Well, Rondé Barber's out there talking about culture change with Tom Brady. What are you talking about culture change for? I thought Jameis was supposed to fix his culture change. Well, that's number one. We're still talking about culture change? Really? I thought Jameis was going to do this. Then I was listening to Michael Lombardi's podcast. And they were talking about Bridgewater and Jameis and the guy who co-hosts with Lombardi's ESPN Reject, Adam Annan or something like that. And he's like, you can't tell me that Bridgewater's better than Jameis. I understand the picks are bad, but how can you tell me Bridgewater's better than Jameis? Lombardi said he's not. He goes, but bringing Bridgewater in there will solidify the locker room. What?
Well, when you told me that, what's the first thing I said? I said, that means there's a problem in the locker room.
Solidify the locker room? What are you talking about? And now Lombardi talks to a lot of NFL people. And NFL people talk just as much as people here at the bar talk. You know, they talk. What was that about? And I know Lombardi was at the combine. Like, what's that about? Solidify the locker room. And then I'm listening to Bruce Feldman and Stuart Mandel. They host a college football podcast. I'm a big college football fan. I can be a fan of college football. I cover the Bucks, but I can be a fan of college football.
And these guys know what they're talking about.
Bruce Feldman's the best. Mandel's good. Bruce Feldman's the best. He's right up there with Brent McMurphy. And someone sent an email to them, like they had a question and answer session. And someone sent in a question, why did Florida State go from national championship to one of the dregs of college football within 5 or 6 years? How could that happen? And he said, well, there was basically three things. But one of those things was, Bruce Feldman said, he said, Jimbo Fisher made a deal with the devil. He hitched his wagon to Jameis Winston. Now, Jameis got him a national championship. He said
he reached the national championship in year two with the guy.
Yeah, but semifinal.
He said,
but with Jameis's antics, he said, sooner or later, if the guy who's supposed to be the leader of your team is pulling his stunts, sooner or later, that's going to split your locker room. And that eventually happened. And basically, he said, and I can't think of the guy's name, I apologize. I thought he was a pretty good quarterback, Jameis's successor. He beat Michigan in the Orange Bowl. He was such a skunk that Willie Taggart, who's a players guy, kicked him off the team. So it's like all of a sudden, within a couple of days, within 24 hours, I read this about Rondé Barber. I hear this about Lombardi. I hear this from Bruce Feldman.
I can't blame Jameis Winston for the nonsense that's going on in Tallahassee the last 4 years since he departed.
Bruce Feldman says that started it. Putting this all together is a little piece of the puzzle. And now I was told, I'm going to add this to it.
And now you've got the final piece.
Well,
here comes the final piece.
I can't confirm this to this day. Last year, I heard this. Last year being offseason 2019. That when Jameis got suspended with the Uber stuff, and frankly, he tried to brush us under the rug. He didn't tell the team, even though it happened a couple years ago, he didn't say anything to the team about it. At that time, both Steve and I said, that's not a leader. I had heard there were a couple of prominent players in the locker room. One, you could easily guess who it is. Not on the Bucks roster anymore. A couple of players in the Bucks locker room were outraged at Jameis, and they turned on him. Now, since then, I've heard one of them made amends. But I don't know about the other. And the third guy that I know of, he's no longer on the roster. I'm starting to think now that Jameis has worn out his welcome with quite a few of his teammates.
Interesting observation, Lee.
And we see what these guys' reactions on the field,
you're right,
on the bench when he throws a pick. I saw Carl Nassib. I thought he was going to throw his helmet at somebody
Even Shaq Barrett, who doesn't seem to have a great filter, which I love him for. Another reason I love Shaq Barrett, besides 19 and a half sacks, speaks his mind. While he doesn't openly criticize Winston, he doesn't apologize for Winston either and his mistakes. And I think he's talking for more than Shaq Barrett. At least that's my opinion.
Well, Godwin, when he went to the Super Bowl Radio Row, he wasn't exactly glowing about Jameis. And he said, oh, I like Jameis. He produces, but he brought up the picks. You gotta cut this down. So, and like I said, I'll never forget DeMar Dotson's reaction. I think it was Jameis' fourth pick against the Bengals.
Dotson's one of Winston's great supporters.
Yeah, good dude. When I saw his reaction, but I'll never forget Nassib. It was I can't remember the game, but visually it's, I mean, I get like it's happening in front of
what
me right now.
What the heck are you doing watching Carl Nassib while action's going on?
Well, you know what?
I have a problem with that.
I'm starting to learn this. I had a GM tell me this once, and it's starting to make sense. He goes, you can always
watch. What are you going to do? Watch the water boy next? Well,
yes.
What's next?
Yes.
He said,
he said, you can always watch replays. You can't always get replays of what's going on the sidelines.
I want to see the next interception. You're over there watching the
ball. Well, Nassib, I can't remember the game, but I do remember it was sunny. I'm pretty sure it was Indianapolis. Jameis threw a pick, and I thought Nassib was going to punch somebody. The way he shook his head, the look on his face, he grabbed his helmet, just ripped the helmet off the bench.
The Bucs managed to win that game.
They won that game, but I thought Nassib was going to punch somebody. I really did. He was that hacked off.
So, Lee, the suggestion,
So, all these pieces.
Of all these pieces. Suggestion is there's more to this puzzle than the 30 interceptions.
Yes. And the 5,000
yards. And that's interesting. There's the intangibles. Now, we, and myself included, we've always harped on Winston's work ethic.
Which is admirable.
Which I still have no problem with at all. And you know when the leadership might have started taking a hit was when he did that speech before that game, the finger speech. The cracks started to show there. A little bit.
And that could have.
People said, what the hell is this? Look at the other Bucks. They're wondering what the hell's going on with their quarterback.
You know, that shtick works if you're winning. They weren't winning. Whether it was the finger speech or not, eat the W, that's what we're talking about, eating the W's. I just think that they were getting sick of that because he could have been talking about Lord knows what. All this woofing, and if you're losing, it doesn't mean a damn thing. And I will argue it doesn't mean a damn thing if you're winning.
Lee, one thing I've been thinking about the last few seasons is...
Before Ira dives deeper into the demise of Jameis Winston and a whole lot more, I want to remind you that Bill Curry Ford, a great family-owned local business, is open for business, ready to serve all of your needs. And a Bill Curry Ford exclusive right now is 0% APR for 72 months on all F-Series trucks. That's right, F-150s, F-250s, F-350s, BillCurryFord.com. We thank Pin Chasers. They are open for business as well. Bowling spring break camp starts tomorrow. PinChasers.net. Great fun all night long. Great food as well. And remember, stock up on Big Storm beer. BigStormBrewery.com is the website. You can use their storm tracker that you can find right at JoeBucksFan.com to find where to purchase Big Storm beer across the Tampa Bay area, or BigStormBrewery.com. And also their tap room is open, all three of them. Check out the website today.
We were a little bit fooled in 2016 by that five-game winning streak. And then at the end of the season, they didn't win the games that they needed to win. Both road games, right? Yes. At New Orleans. I mean, tough games.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they're tough. They're
they
close.
They were tough, and they were competitive. But they were in charge of their playoff destiny at 8-5. They didn't need anybody's help. That's a fact. All right. So then came the hard knocks and everything, and here comes Swaggy.
Swaggy and Deshaun Jackson.
So, Lee, I'm extrapolating that to last year. Extrapolate.
That's a good word.
The four-game winning streak. And by the way, Winston wasn't great in every one of those games. He was good, but included the Indy game where he threw a bunch of picks.
Yeah.
Then Darius Leonard picked him off twice, I believe he did. So, are we going to be fooled again? Because, again, they couldn't sustain it at the end of the year. Two winnable games at home. They don't do it. And why should we think that they've turned the corner? They haven't proved it, Lee.
That's fair. However, I don't think Arians is going to do something stupid like bring in Swaggy Baker and Deshaun Jackson. I mean, Jackson. I still don't understand why people don't like Hard Knocks. I don't get it. And you know what? If you're losing in December, you're blaming something that happened in August, that's your problem. Ain't what happened in August, that's your problem. So I just think I had a wonderful high school coach. He taught me so many things, most of which I forgot, but one thing he taught us, we're in high school, 16, 17-year-old kids. A distraction is a distraction if you let it be a distraction. And he's telling us the kids, here, these guys are adults.
Has Light learned the lesson of Swaggy Baker and
Deshaun Jackson? I hope so. It wasn't so much Jackson, although he was bad, but Swaggy was...
You got to do your homework, Lee. You got to do it.
The Bucks claim that they knew this about him. Then why did you sign him?
He didn't like to practice, Lee.
You know that.
You know who told me that?
Yeah.
The coach of the Redskins.
Yeah.
It's the first thing he said to me.
And the Bucks claim they did their homework on him.
He said he's a decent player and he doesn't like to practice.
Well,
that's a problem.
We found out he was a freaking cancer. And there again,
it took till the end of the season, till somebody stepped up.
Yeah, well, this is Steve's point. He told me this. And I don't disagree with him. If Jameis is such a leader, he should have punched Swaggy Baker this second week of the season.
Or McCoy.
Well, McCoy was no leader. We knew that. We all knew that. McCoy's not that way. I like Gerald, don't get me wrong, but he's not that way. He's He doesn't like friction.
He could be a man without a team this year, Lee. I don't know what's going on.
Well, there's a couple of guys that could be that way. You're right.
I think somebody will pick him up if he cuts his salary. He's going to have to take a big cut.
Yeah. Lee. And you know, he may retire.
Yeah, he could retire.
He may retire. So, now we got that out of the way about, you know, maybe Jameis is the locker room issue. And
Lee, here's the difference. We've always used the word polarizing, but we meant in terms of the fan base. Now, he could be polarizing like our waiter.
She's not.
He could be polarizing within the locker room. That's another problem.
Mm-hmm. Let me say, Lombardi was at the combine, and these guys, it's a fraternity. These guys talk. And Lombardi said Bridgewater would solidify the locker room. My red flag went up.
That's
whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to write about that on JoeBucksFan.com. I haven't yet.
Now, Lee, I'm starting to see some mock drafts, one in particular.
Oh, you'll see those year-round.
Has the Bucks at 14 taking Jordan Love. Should they take a quarterback in the first round that's not named Burrow and Tua?
If they sign Brady, yes. And Steve wrote about it. Steve Isabitz, my co-conspirator at JoeBucksFan.com, he wrote about this. He said the Bucks would be, I can't remember the word, basically a very profound word that is synonymous with stupid. I can't remember the exact word he used. It'd be stupid not to bring in a rookie quarterback early, let him learn under the best coaches, allegedly, the best quarterback coaches there are, with Moore, with Christensen, with Bruce Arians, and Brady.
Now, he didn't say first round. Ah,
I thought he did, but, you know, me and reading and me and my memory. The only thing I remember, Ira, I remember what a good-looking woman is. That's the only thing I remember.
And Lee, the same thing would hold true for Philip Rivers.
I would hope so. But, you know, Rivers isn't Brady.
No, but in terms of age, he's a short gap.
Well,
he'd be a short gap.
Steve's inference there is the ultimate winner. Rivers is not even close to that. Rivers struggles to win a playoff game.
Lee, the point that you and I are both making, and I can't believe we're even discussing this in March of 2020.
It's relevant.
Is No. I cannot believe you and I are both having to say, we got to do better than Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin.
Well,
Lee, is Arians saying something that you and I aren't saying?
Yes. Arians talked about this in Indianapolis. He doesn't believe...
He might be the quarterback whisperer, but I think he's a quarterback blinder if he thinks he's going to win with Gabbert. I don't get this.
He doesn't believe in having a competent number two quarterback.
Oh, boy.
And the reason for that is, and when he explained it, I wholeheartedly agree. When you have two quarterbacks, you have none.
The Chiefs brought in Matt Moore to save their bacon when Mahomes got hurt. I don't see Mahomes crying about it.
Did Matt Moore contest with Alex Smith as a starting quarterback? So I think you got to be clear here. Are you suggesting they should bring in a quarterback who could compete for the starting job?
I am not.
Okay. Well, Arians does believe that in Gabbert, that he could win you games as a backup. But Arians does not believe in competition at quarterback. And his theory is, and I believe in this theory, you hear about this a lot in college. If you have two quarterbacks, you have none. And if you think about it, when's the last time any team, NFL, college, has won with two quarterbacks? The Dolphins, maybe, with Woodley and Strzok, maybe?
It doesn't work. The Cowboys tried it with Morton
and Staubach. Every play, wasn't it?
Yeah, it didn't work. I couldn't believe Landry would fall prey to that. But Lee, a rookie wouldn't fall in that category. Nobody would be saying you got to play the rookie.
Well,
ahead of,
like I said, Steve
ahead of Brady and Rivers.
Yeah, but I agree with Steve. You've got right now allegedly the best set of quarterback coaches in the league. You might argue different with Andy Reid, and in theory, you could have Brady, the ultimate winner. Wouldn't you want your next starting quarterback to learn from those guys?
Yes.
Yeah. So if you, and I believe this,
I've been saying they need to draft a quarterback this year. I've been saying it.
Here's my thing about drafting a quarterback. If you get Brady or if you get Rivers, clearly those guys are at the end of their career. They're not the future. I think you must draft a quarterback. Now, Arians doesn't want to do that because, once again, he doesn't believe in competition. Yeah, and if you're drafting a quarterback first round, you're going to expect him to play.
A first round changes the equation a little.
Yeah.
It does. The question is, could there be a quarterback past the first round that Arians is interested in developing?
Maybe. But my last name was Glazer. I said, Bruce, if it takes me to cut you a $500,000 check for you to draft Jordan Love or another first round quarterback, since you got Brady, I'll cut you that check. Suck it up. Draft a quarterback. learn how to deal with it.
And Love's not going to compete with Brady in training camp.
Nobody. No rookie will.
Lee, when I was in Canton a few months ago to do pick that centennial class, Napoleon was up there, and Carl Peterson, and Belichick, and I got to spend some time with Ron Wolf. I had never met Ron Wolf before. That was one of the highlights of the trip, is I had lunch with him. We talked strategy. And
oh, man, I could have... That could have gone all day, right?
I got his phone number, which
even better. And his son should be the next general manager of the Bucks. I'll say it right now.
Wolf,
yes,
that's a good one.
He ought to be the next.
One of the things he said, Lee. One of the things I'll never forget it. Guy's in the Hall of Fame. He's got a little credibility.
He knows what the hell he's doing.
He says, "I drafted a quarterback every year. Somewhere, I drafted a quarterback, and the idea is, you could trade him.
Yeah,
you could trade him if the guy turns out to be decent. Not a bad strategy, Lee."
Let's say this about Ron
Wolf. Back then, the draft was more than seven rounds.
I'll just sum this up about Ron Wolf. People are unfamiliar with Ron Wolf. Ron Wolf was the original general manager of the Bucs.
That's right.
He built the 70s team.
He drafted Leroy Sumner. Yes.
I think he got fired by Culverhouse, or he told Culverhouse to hike.
He did.
He went to the Raiders, and what happened? He built the 80s Raiders, which included two rings.
If Al Davis trusts you, what does that mean?
You know what you're doing.
You know what you're doing.
Then he left the Raiders, took over the Packers. And what did the Packers do?
He traded for Brett Favre. He signed Reggie White.
Yeah.
As a free agent.
He built one was a Super Bowl contender, two Super Bowl winners. He's right up there with Polian. He really is. And that's why he's in the Hall of Fame. So when he says something...
And when Bill Walsh tells me, Lee, because Gruden brought him to training camp one year, and I got 15 minutes with him, it was fantastic. And one of the things I remember him saying... You know, we talked about dealing Montana to the Chiefs. And Montana still had something left.
Yeah, obviously.
He did well with the Chiefs.
He got the AFC Championship.
Yes, he did. Walsh goes, it's all, you get rid of a player a year too early rather than a year too late.
Wasn't that a Branch Rickey theory?
Might have been a Branch Rickey theory. But Walsh believed it wholeheartedly.
You like to recount this saying. What was this famous saying to you? About a quarterback?
That was about Steve DeBerg.
What did he say?
Just good enough to get you beat.
Is that Jameis?
That's one of the all-time quotes.
Is that Jameis?
DeBerg won very few big games. He didn't win the big games.
When's the last big game Jameis won? But it sure smells like it. You know, mind you, I'm pro Jameis, but I'm not a fraud. I'm objective,
I think. I'd say Jameis had more talent than DeBerg.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know what DeBerg was great at? He was a tremendous, on play action, he was tremendous about pulling off the fake. And sucking in the linebackers thing. He did it very,
but
very
could,
well.
But could someone take Walsh's statement and apply that to Jameis?
Just good enough to get you beat. Very damningly. Very damning.
And he's
I don't
good.
Know if he meant it like that, but it's very damning. Just good enough to get you beat. And you, and the first guy you think of is number three. Interesting.
I hate to say it. You know, I like Jameis, but I got to be fair and I got to be honest. When's the last big game he won?
Now, having said it, Lee, you're bottom line. And I'm a bottom liner. You'd bring him back.
Yes. No question.
Why do you think he'll improve in year two under Arians?
Everybody's focused on the interception, so I'll deal with that. You're a math guy. I'm not a math guy.
I am a math guy.
You've heard of the phrase regression to the mean. Jameis damn near doubled his interceptions last year from his career worst.
So he's more likely to go back to 16 or 18.
Well, even 20. If he had 20 interceptions last year as opposed to 30, we wouldn't be discussing it.
Probably not having this conversation.
Yeah, he may already be signed. So I'm going to use the stat geeky term regression to the mean. He almost, not quite, but almost doubled his career high in interceptions. So I would suspect, and expect, not just suspect, I would expect second year in Arians' offense. Carson Palmer always talks about that. Second year in Arians' offense.
I've never heard you refer to a mathematical formula before, DeKemper.
And this might be the last time.
You're shocking me.
This may be the last time.
What's next, a bell curve, DeKemper? You're going to refer to a bell curve?
Wasn't it Christine Bell, the actress, and
Catherine Bell.
Catherine Bell. Catherine. Well, I'm thinking
she
somebody different.
Jag, I think.
Yeah. Whoa. I'm glad you brought that up.
I bring that
I was
right
thinking
up.
Of a different one, but okay. This is even better.
That's right.
She's beautiful.
So you're saying one more shot.
Last one.
Lee, what about the 3-7 start with Winston under center? Does that bother you? 3-7.
What, last year?
Arian says it's supposed to be an instant turnaround. We got a lot of talent, and they start 3-7.
Well, they're.
Would you say
did you see their secondary?
Yeah.
And that's why I always argued in defense of Jameis. I don't know how you could expect any quarterback, prior to the 2019 season. Those 2 years with Mike Smith, those last 2 years with Mike Smith, I don't think any quarterback could have won. I don't care who. I don't care if it was Brady, Pat Mahomes. No one would have won with that in it. That was just a horrible defense. Horrible, as Howard Stern would say. Horrible. Now you got a better defense. Until or unless you can find a guy that throws for 5,000 yards walking the street, James comes back.
What if we... I hate to bring this up, but at this point you have to.
And if James threw for 3,000 yards, I'd say get rid of the bum.
Lee, last thing to wrap up, and I normally don't defend Roger Goodell in the NFL. But Lee, I think they're taking some pot shots. And one of the guys that's in the forefront of this is Florio, who we normally love. But Florio gets off on tangents. Now, I can speak personally because he got off on a tangent a few years ago with Terrell Owens. He went crazy. Disband the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that, yeah.
They disbanded it because they didn't put him in as a first-time guy, and it's racism, and he wasn't in the room. He didn't hear the discussions.
And by the way, I love Mike, so this is, yeah.
I like Mike, too. Beating the drum that the league is tone-deaf if they don't push everything back and tone-deaf.
They're beyond tone-deaf.
It's a terrible look, and you believe this. See, now I'm not going along with it.
Here's what I'm going to say, actually.
I think it's all about health measures. It's not the league is not playing. There's no crowds involved.
No.
So let's not go crazy. Florio's this is not the NBA or the NHL right now.
I think Florio's right. Why are you for... And I've seen ex-general managers on Twitter the last couple days saying it is naive to think that you can do free agent transactions just by Skype or by FaceTime. You got to bring these guys in.
So bring them in.
You really want people traveling this time?
On a private jet.
And you know this is sterile?
Lee, tens of thousands of people are flying every day.
That's because they're stupid.
Do you think we should shut down domestic flights right now? That'd be a draconian measure.
If it's going to save lives. We're talking about a freaking pandemic that might... I mean, look what it's done to other countries.
I'm talking about putting Jack Conklin on the Glazer plane and picking him up at the airport.
Stay at your home in Nashville. Make the pilot stay home. Make the Glazer stay home.
A little Skype with Conklin.
I believe that you should, but I saw ex-general managers say it's naive to think you could do that. I don't know. But we live in the 21st century. Come
on. Selfishly, we're sports fans, Lee. We need something to chew up.
Oh, selfishly, yeah. But if the NFL doesn't push their schedule back, I'll go ahead and say this. Then Trump needs to get involved.
Why can't you have the draft with no fans? Why can't you do
that? That'd be awful for Las Vegas.
Why can't you have a draft the way it used to be? Why can't you?
Are you a capitalist?
Lee.
Are you against making money?
You gotta cancel the draft.
I didn't say cancel the draft. I said postpone. You can have it in the end of May. There's no reason you can't have it in the bank.
Why is it a health risk? Well, you don't have the guys on the stage.
Now,
come on.
Don't have them. You've been reading what happens in large crowds during a pandemic.
Don't bring the players and nobody in the crowd. Have your draft.
You could do that, but if you could delay it a couple months and still pull it off, why not? Who's it going to hurt?
Well, you got off-season programs. You want these guys on the field. See what you got.
If everybody's playing under the same rules, it doesn't matter. People are going to die.
Give Buck fans a chance to relish the fact that the Bucks trade up from 14 to 3 and draft 2. give Buck fans a break.
Yeah, I really believe we're seeing the tip of the iceberg. I really believe that. I mean, we're seeing bars.
I don't like doom and gloom from you, DeKemper. I don't like it.
I could be whatever you want me to be, but I'm being honest.
My glass is half full.
Yeah, you could say I'm doom and gloom. You could say I'm being chirpy and chippy and happy. I'm saying what
I'm the first to be with you on the health risk side. But now you're arguing, well, the draft, it has nothing to do with health. It's an event.
Oh, no, I did not say that. I did not say that.
Oh, wait a minute.
How many hundreds of thousands of people was Vegas expecting for this? And how much money have they invested?
You don't have any fans at the draft. You don't have any fans.
That's awful for Vegas.
You just do it.
That's awful.
Do it, baby.
Do it when you can do it, safety-wise. Push it back 2 months.
Well, we ain't pushing this podcast back 2 months, Lee.
Precautions will be made, and I hope everybody listening, no matter where you are in this world, I know you guys listen to Ira internationally, take care of yourself. This is no flu we're talking
about. Safety first, people.